This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
Do you have a moment to talk about the Flying Pork Apparel Company? We specialize in designer t-shirts, several of which are available on our website, flyingporkapparel.com. But we also do custom designs for special events and group functions. The Flying Pork Apparel Company, fielding nearly all of your needs involving t-shirts, flyingporkapparel.com. FlyingPorkApparel.com. Designer t-shirts for naked bodies. Rated PG-13.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 167. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
And this is the best movies of 2018, according to me and Johnny, in no particular order. What's going on, man?
Not much.
All right. So when we were talking about what we're going to do for our certified infamous lists, we dropped comics because you said you didn't read enough.
I didn't.
And so then we were doing TV. And
Shame on me.
Yeah, it's all right. To be honest, there weren't a lot of really good comics this year.
The only thing that I told you was Outer Darkness, which is just second issue, just came out last
week.
What
about Port of Earth? You like that one?
I liked Port of Earth, but I don't know if I missed an issue or something.
Okay.
So
I will say,
if there's a trade paperback for Port of Earth, check it out, because the first two issues were cool.
Dan Slott's Fantastic Four is really good.
I'll pick and the trade.
You fell behind already, yeah. So
I only bought the first two, yeah. So I was like, I'm like, I'll get the trade.
But
it's easier to read trades on that stuff anymore because there's so much continuity.
I'm going to say it's probably easier to read trades on most comics now.
Yeah.
Just because of all of the tie-ins and everything's an event.
Yeah.
So.
Well, especially when it's Marvel or DC.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So.
No, Outer Darkness I picked up at Coliseum of Comics when I was down there.
Oh, cool.
Because I was just like, I'll just pick something up to read that night,
yeah,
while we were sitting in the hotel room.
Do you get the trade, the first volume? Or
it was just the first issue.
Oh.
It's literally the first issue.
Cool.
It's Jeff Lemire.
Yeah.
Is that who wrote Chew?
Yep. No.
Sorry.
John Layton wrote Chew.
John Layton did the art.
Okay, so then.
I think Jeff Lemire wrote Chew.
No. It wasn't Jeff Lemire. Hold on, I'll just pull it up on the app. No, it was. Here we're gonna go looking. We'll see who finds it first.
Oh, I'm not. I'm answering something.
You're so busy. You have the texts. Book details. John Layman, not Jeff Lemire.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. And Rob Gilroy was the artist.
Layman. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, John. Sorry. I knew it was the guy who wrote Chew, and I had read. Because
you texted me.
Three?
Yeah. You texted me after you read Outer Darkness and asked if I picked it up, and
yeah.
I have not yet. So.
Well, I seen the second issue came out, and that's when I asked you.
Yeah. I think I'll wait for the first trade.
Yeah, artist name's Afu Chan, or Chan,
cool.
Maybe.
Okay.
Chan. It looks cool. It's kind of Star Trek with black magic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then, what was the other one? Descender was really good this year.
Yeah. I fell so far behind on that I should just buy the trade.
So that's one I only ever did in trades.
Yeah. There's some books where I read like the first 6 or 12.
Sure.
And I kept getting the books because I thought the book was good enough that, you know, support small books, small books, you know, because those are independent books. Even though they're being published by Image, they're still independent books.
Right.
And it's one of those things where some books I think deserve that support.
Right.
And Descender was one where I thought I read the first 5 or 6 issues of that, and I thought it was really well done.
Yeah.
And that, kind of like Paper Girls.
Yeah.
Paper Girls, I've fallen so far behind, but I'm still buying it.
I still buy it every week, too. So.
And I bought the first hardcover volume.
Oh, cool.
Because I was like, no, I'll just catch up.
Well, if you remember when we talked to Jay Torres last year, year before, I guess now, he said, like, when you buy them from Comixology, they actually get royalty checks.
Like,
so,
you mean when they...
Like, if you go on to Comixology and buy volume 1 of Chew, Layman and Guilfoyle will get
a full
a check. Or,
well,
they
do through Image too. Though.
Yeah. Well, but like, so, but if you buy it at like a
if
comic
I
book
buy
store
a comic
and it's
book
older,
at a comic book at a comic book store that's a back issue, the comic
right.
book store benefits.
Correct.
If I buy a new comic book at the comic book store, the writer and artist benefit.
Everyone benefits.
Because, yeah, well, Image benefits, everybody else benefits.
But yeah.
The comic book store doesn't benefit as much. But
Right. So anyway.
I mean, if you're wanting to collect back issues, buy them from your comic book store.
Absolutely.
So they stay open.
I will say Comixology had some pretty amazing deals. I got all of Saga now.
Yeah.
In both individual issues and digital trades. And then all of Why the Last Man, all 10 volumes were $4.99.
That's good.
So I ended up just because I have all those trades sitting right up there.
Right.
But I like to read the stuff on the go when I'm traveling.
Sure.
So it helps.
Right.
Anyway. All right. So there's
which
our comic.
Is, you know, trades are perfect for that, even
exactly.
in hard copy.
And I got I got the Stephanie Brown 2 volumes of Batgirl.
The Brian Q. Miller
for $4.99 each.
That's good.
So I was pretty stoked about that because I have all 24 of the individual issues. I have all the three trades, and then now the two because they just did the digital as 2 volumes.
Oh, okay.
So, which is fine.
I'm sure DC will do the full volume in one of these days.
I don't think they will because they're trying to make us forget she was ever Batgirl.
Oh, okay.
Because she's back to being Spoiler.
Right. Yeah, there's a figure out and everything. Walmart exclusive.
Yep. Oh, is it?
Walmart exclusive DC multiverse figure. Her and a Harley Quinn.
I have to track that down.
Oh, it's easy.
Okay.
I've seen it at multiple Walmarts.
Well, next time you see it, pick it up.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk movies.
Comes with a Lex Luthor Build-A-Figure piece.
Cool. You can
well, it's
have
the Super
Lex Luthor.
Super Lex.
In the suit?
Yeah.
Nice.
And they did 2 versions of the head because I think there's the one that's in the Harley that's a Walmart exclusive is the New Gods version.
Okay.
From that story where it was, you know, Justice League versus the New Gods
yeah.
or whatever. Where everybody got a New God power. Batman was riding around in the Mobius chair.
Cool.
Which kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does actually.
Batman would be, yeah, Metron.
Yeah, he would be. Mm-hmm. All right. So there are a lot of really good movies this year.
There were a lot of really bad movies.
There were a lot of really bad movies. Pacific Rim 2. Oh, excuse me.
You know what? I am so glad that Diamond was smart enough not to put one of the figures out until the end of the year.
Yeah.
Because if I would have seen that, it would have ruined the movie.
Which
for
one?
Me. The robot that becomes something else.
Oh,
Yeah. So, yeah, I was just like, okay, I'm glad that figure came out later.
Yep.
It wasn't a horrible movie, but it wasn't Pacific Rim.
The kid loved it, right?
It's a great like kids movie because
she's their,
it's just a bunch of kids running around.
She's their audience for that one. So,
it's the same thing that's happening with Avatar 2. Because Avatar 2 is just a bunch of, like, preteen teens.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. They were like on Disney's blog site and they stayed the night at the Pandora Avatar Land.
While you were there?
No. Probably like middle of summer.
Oh, okay.
So. Sweltering heat.
I've
camping
still,
out on Pandora.
I've still never seen the first Avatar
it's
movie.
It's not a bad
so.
Movie. I mean, it's just Dances with Wolves on another planet.
Great.
Or on a moon, I should say.
Sure.
Since Pandora's a moon.
Is it? It's like a forest moon of...
Alpha Centauri.
Okay.
I think it's Alpha Centauri.
It's the jungle moon of Alpha Centauri.
Oh, it was a jungle
is it
moon.
A jungle?
Yeah. It's a jungle. And, it's pretty much like a hyper-upped version of Earth.
Okay.
Because the animals are, you know, and everything's linked. So, it's cool.
Cool. All right. So, do we want to just hop in?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. So you did not share your list with me.
Nope.
I shared my list with you just so you would know.
And I don't even
know
what your list was.
Well, I was just curious how much crossover we had.
I don't even
which I'm
what
sure
you
we
had.
Did.
Let me look. Oh,
it's right there.
Wait. Oh. So, 3.
Oh, really?
3.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. All right. I'm just
one on your list I haven't seen yet. So
yeah, I'm guessing which one that is.
pink one. Yeah, one on your list. Okay. Seen.
So let's just start with, and again, these are in no particular order, but in
my list, your list goes off a totally different thing than my list goes off of.
Yeah,
my list rules are if I buy it when it comes out on Blu-ray,
right?
That means I really liked it.
So far.
And three I added yesterday, and I would buy them as soon as they come out.
I've bought three of my five.
Okay.
So, and two of them aren't out.
So,
on release
one isn't out. Well, four of mine are not out.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Long day at work. Four of mine aren't out, but as soon as they come out, I will buy them. One of them I didn't buy until Black Friday just for the fact that it came out a week before Black Friday.
Sure, sure, sure.
So, it still wasn't even, like, super low, but it right. was at a reasonable price.
Awesome. All right, so the first one I'm going to go with was Avengers Infinity War.
Which is on my list.
Which,
we
yeah,
knew that would be.
Obviously.
Right.
One, I saw this in the theater three times.
Okay.
And then I bought it, and I think I've probably watched it at least three more times since I bought it.
I've seen it in the theater once, and I've watched it probably four times,
okay.
maybe. Four or three and a half.
Three and a half.
Three.
He fell
half.
Asleep. I tell you what, this one holds
it's,
up.
It's another one where it's like there's a part in there where you can just go to sleep and take like a half hour power nap.
Sure.
And that's probably what I did.
Yeah.
So three and a half.
So this one holds up super well to the repeat viewings, which is why I put it on the list.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun to watch. It's, you know, like even the tear jerking moments and you know, like spoiler, obviously there's gonna be spoilers while we're talking about all this stuff, but like
we won't spoil any of the movies that came out in last month.
No. True.
Yeah.
Okay. I only have one of those.
I have
so.
Three.
Yeah.
Unless well, four, but that one came out before I went on vacation.
So anyway, with this, it's like the whole thing like with Spider-Man at the end. You know, it's still like it still gets you in the feels, right? You know, the whole,
well, if you're
he knows what's happening.
Fan.
Well, and, you know, being a Spider-Man fan, you know, the whole thing
like,
with,
oh, spider sense is tingling.
No, you know,
but at the end for me, I think, and it was kind of ruined because of the audience that I've seen it with, because
yeah.
there was a couple people that literally like fell out of their chair kind of emotions.
Like then, crying?
Like, oh, yeah. There was one girl that was kept, like, when her favorites would disappear, it would be, no, no. And, like, the whole room's so silent in
yeah.
that theater. And there was, like, 400 people in the theater.
Yeah.
So, literally, like, her and a few other people, you could just hear gasp and that. And I'm like, oh, you guys don't even know.
There was a lot of gasping. Like,
yeah.
nobody, like, cried out when we saw it, any of the times I saw it.
I'm like,
but
you should be lucky that this didn't happen at the beginning of the movie.
Which I'm kind of surprised
well,
it didn't,
and
to
the
be honest.
In the original story,
yeah.
it did. And I'm like, no, this actually worked better
mm-hmm.
than,
right.
well, you know. And the thing is, in the original story, there's the Thanos quest before there's Infinity Gauntlet, and it's him getting the jewels and having to, you
right.
know, go through trials pretty much.
And that was
and
the
I'm
first
like,
act of
this
the
is
movie.
Pretty much what the movie
yeah.
was. Is like him getting the jewels. And I'm like, they should have called the movie Thanos Quest.
Yeah.
It would
instead
have been
of
cool.
Infinity
and then they
War.
Could have called this Infinity
yeah.
War. And
I don't know. I'm kind of cool with the whole idea of Endgame. Because, you know, the whole we're in the Endgame now, Tony.
Yeah, well.
So now go off and suffocate. Wahahaha.
Captain Marvel's going to save him.
I know.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be Korg and Valkyrie so bad. Anyway, so why did you put this one on the list?
I just enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very enjoyable, entertaining movie.
Did you feel like you had to put it on the list
no.
based on like our subject matter?
Nope, like
for
I
the
said,
podcast?
It was just if I bought it, because I don't buy a lot of these movies until I get like
right.
a deal on them. But if I bought it and paid full release price for it, then I felt like that it goes on my list.
So of the three that I bought, I actually pre-ordered on iTunes.
Well, see, yeah. Then,
so like, you know, and then the other two. The one is up for pre-order now, and I'll do that soon. And then the other one, you know, as soon as
it
hits
pre-order. The
ones
that I bought, I put down on the shelf. And
yeah, right.
Literally.
You're like,
I think one was like, I'm going to go to Target and buy it. It's cheaper. But the other ones I bought at my store because they were actually, you know, decent price.
So now when you get them in, are you guys allowed to buy them like a day earlier or anything like that?
No, we would get fined.
Yeah.
if they found out, like, it shows up on a computer, they would find the store. And then they, like, do the thing like Walmart happened when they released the Solo Black Series figures way early around here, where they do a moratorium and you don't have movies for 6 months or something.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah. Well, speaking of Black Series figures, I found the Wave, which I'm never the first one to find a Wave ever of our group of toy hunting friends.
Yeah, I was kind of mad the other day. I found that whole Spider-Man Wave about.
Yeah.
The one with the spider.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you should tell me. I didn't get the whole. I just got Kane. Like.
Well, yeah, that, I thought that was the only one you wanted.
I don't know.
You got Doc Ock.
Oh, I did get Doc
Ock.
He's up there.
Yeah.
So. But
I thought those were the only two.
Yeah, those were the only two I wanted. Yeah. Now,
Cloak and Dagger are cool. But.
They are cool looking because they had them at Voice of America. With,
oh, did they?
Yeah.
They did showing up everywhere.
Yeah. Anyway,
the only other one that I thought like you would be interested in that way was the House of M Spider-Man.
You know,
but I'm like, how many Spider-Men can you have?
Well, it's
unless you want to do Into the Spider-Man.
It's like missing like the not having a spider on his chest.
He didn't have that.
I know, and it just bothers
what they
should have
done was included the head, the Peter Parker head where his head shaved and everything.
Now that I would have picked up just for that. Yeah. But all right, so why don't you do one of the non-crossover ones on your list?
Christopher Robin.
See, I didn't get to see that one.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one where I think, like, you know, Ewan McGregor actually would deserve a nomination.
Okay.
I don't think he should win, but a nomination would be good. I thought he did a really good job.
And Jim Cummings was Pooh and Eeyore and Tigger and everything.
Yep. And I don't think he played Eeyore in this.
Didn't he? Okay.
I think it was Raymond's brother.
Brad Garrett.
Yeah. From Everybody Loves Raymond.
So Brad Garrett, he's on that ABC show Single Parents.
Oh, okay.
You should totally check that one. At least watch the first episode.
Yeah, I'm pretty
sure he played Hulu.
Eeyore.
Okay.
Or maybe he played Eeyore. I don't know.
If he was anyone,
Peter
his voice definitely played Eeyore.
Rabbit.
Okay. I can
It was
see
really
that.
Weird,
sense.
But
yeah.
It was like, in the credits, I was like, the beginning credits, they say Peter Capaldi. I'm like, I didn't see Peter Capaldi in this movie. And I'm reading the credits and I'm like, oh my God, Rabbit looked like Peter Capaldi.
I didn't see the doctor in this movie.
Yeah. it was just a really well done movie. And I'm not a Pooh fan.
See, I love Pooh Bear.
So, like, I was just like, yeah, it was entertaining. It was well done. It was kind of like, you know, when we were kids, Hook came out, and that was kind of like the adult that was a kid that dealt with a fantasy world type thing. And that, and they've done it with Once Upon a Time enough, like, now that you're kind of like not as a big deal. But this one, it was like really well done because it was real. It was made to feel real. And
yeah,
because he had really like gone to 100 Acre Wood, and they show up in the real world and interact with his daughter, and, you know.
Oh, bother.
Yep, that happens a couple of times in there. But yeah, just a well done movie. The effects were great. I mean, you know, it wasn't cartoony. It was, you know, it got pretty serious at moments. And I thought it was just a well-done movie of, you know, you don't need to totally grow up.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome, awesome. All right. So my next non-crossover is A Star Is Born, which I'm guessing you probably didn't see that one.
No.
So we went and saw that. Like, I saw the preview for it, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to see this one or not. Like, you know, she was like, I'm not sure. And then I started reading about it. And
it's been done so many times.
It
too.
Has.
Yeah.
But so part of the reason I wanted to see this is because Bradley Cooper sang and played guitar and did that all himself.
And directed it.
And then he directed it.
Yeah.
And so that right there, I'm like, OK, I want to see what Bradley Cooper does because I like Bradley Cooper.
Sure.
I've liked Bradley Cooper since he was Will Tippin in Alias, which he was like the only character on Alias who wasn't like a spy.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, he was a news reporter, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was like a, like a small, like.
Spoilers: he ends up dead at some point, I think, doesn't he?
Season two or three.
Yeah, in a bathtub or something.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, all right. So, why this movie made the list for me is his direction. It's this really cool, like intimate, like voyeuristic experience, like almost Hitchcockian in the way that he filmed it.
Okay.
There's a bunch of scenes where the camera is at like middle of your face to knee level, right?
Oh, okay.
And so like it's cutting off the head, but like it's at the level of like whatever the focus needs to be, but it's not right. so pulled back that it shows everything. Like that was part of the problem with Bohemian Rhapsody is it never felt like super intimate. And I had other problems with that movie, even though I really did enjoy it. But this one was great. And then just the performances that they gave, because the other thing is all the songs that they did in the movie, they did live.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
there's the one where like Lady Gaga's character, Allie makes her big like debut when he pulls her on, like pulls her out from back of the stage. And that was actually shot during a Lucas Nelson and Willie Nelson concert.
Yeah.
And they told them, you have 8 minutes.
Yep.
Go. And they nailed it. And, you know, it was great. And, you know, the soundtrack is really good. I've enjoyed listening to it since then. And, you know,
Sam Elliott's in it too, isn't he?
Sam Elliott is great. And then, you know, just the story this time around was really, really touching. Like, she'll start crying with like 30 minutes left in the movie.
Huh.
And like, she didn't even know exactly what was going to happen yet.
Right.
And then she went back and saw it a second time. And I was like, you pretty much cried the whole time, didn't you? She's like, oh, yeah. I mean.
Oh, okay.
Like, so they just give a really powerful performance. And kind of like the chemistry he had with Jennifer Lawrence in Silver Linings Playbook.
Okay.
Like, he pulls that into Lady Gaga. And like.
I seen an interview with her on Graham Norton. And, you know, he was there too. And she, you know, didn't have enough kind words to say about him. So,
and like their whole deal, like she's like, hey, look, I'm going to turn you into a musician and you're going to help me be a better actor. I just think that's cool. Like everything about it.
I could see her doing more with him because she really had a good time. Yeah. So,
and again,
so there's an idea for Marvel to have Bradley Cooper direct Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
There you go. I'd be interested to see what he does.
He is
as long
as
it's James Gunn's script.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just doing voice, so he doesn't even have to like, you know.
He doesn't have to do that until afterwards.
Right. All right. Cool. So
but Lady Gaga in Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
Oh, who could she be?
I don't know. This the thing with Guardians of the Galaxy 3, if they use Gunn's script, it's still they're opening up more of a universe with Captain Marvel. So there may be more to
maybe they'll add the Spartax finally.
Well, he might have known more. I don't think the Spartax is ever going to.
I know.
Yeah, he's Ego's son now. So,
yeah, I get it.
You know, that's the thing.
That could have all been a ruse.
I know ruse.
Anyway, all right, so what's your next non-crossover?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I stuck to five. You know?
Bohemian Rhapsody is a decent movie.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that sold that movie is the last 20 minutes when they do the Live Aid concert and it's shot for shot almost the original concert.
So we,
and it's Rami Malek and it's the guys that, you know, portray all the characters and they're doing it.
Yep.
I was like, okay, this is awesome. This is an awesome movie.
So we came home and immediately went to YouTube and pulled up the 20 minute Live Aid concert. All right. So
that is probably one of the greatest live performances ever done.
Agreed. 100%. Yeah. Here's some of the issues I had, because like Queen is one of the few bands from the 70s that I actually like.
Yeah.
And the timeline was all mixed up.
Well,
they
didn't say it was a bio movie.
Right.
It's a biopic movie, which means things get changed.
Right.
So and that was the thing everybody complained about, like when he got AIDS and, you know, all that type of stuff. And I'm like, this is not like a straight up biography movie.
Sure. No, and I
otherwise
agree.
It would be called Freddie Mercury.
So the whole idea of like they made it seem like it was Live Aid and then he died was kind of weird.
Well, they did, you know, they acknowledged that it was, you know, they spent like him and I forget his name, but the guy who becomes his partner.
Yeah.
They spent time together and they acknowledged that in the,
they did, but they still made it seem like it was very shortly after.
No.
The other thing
I didn't feel that way,
is
but
the way they villainized him for wanting to go solo. Because when that at that point, when he went to put out his first solo album, Brian and Roger had already done like multiple albums. And Brian is a studio musician who is on like 30 soundtracks, you know? So it was just kind of weird because they didn't have that kind of falling out. The falling out was because his behavior, not because he was going to get a payday.
Right. Yeah. I think that was a lot of what you've seen like setup wise. And then it was just like,
I just felt
when he decided that you know, in the movie when he decides that he wants to go solo, they were done because of all the crap that he had been doing anyway.
I just think the villainization kind of is what got me. Like, I don't, and that might have been like, well, I don't think he was the villain, but I feel like they tried to villainize him.
I don't feel that they
did. And again, it's my perspective.
The one thing that pulled me out of that movie was
the teeth.
No, the teeth were perfect. Like, he looked like Freddy.
Yeah. Just a slighter version.
The kid from Jurassic Park.
Oh.
He's one of the members of Queen, and I kept going.
The drummer, Roger.
Oh, man. So, I'm like,
I kept waiting for him to get electrocuted.
Yeah, I'm just like,
I will say, the hair, the makeup, the costuming.
Oh, they all look like their characters.
They looked amazing. Yeah. So,
well, Nate, the stuff that was in there that, you know, like the stuff with him and his girlfriend, all that was true to the story.
Right.
I mean, you know, yeah, they plowed through the 80s like really fast. And that, but I'm like, you had to, because they had to get to Live Aid.
Right.
And well, like, they open at Live Aid.
Well, right. And then that's like what I'm saying. They had to get to Live Aid, and I'm like, well, okay.
So,
and when they got to Live Aid, I'm like, this sold the movie right
so
there.
So I'll tell you how this is a good movie for me is that is not how the band met.
What, the whole at college the meeting or whatever?
Well, they met in college, but they were roommates.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, your lead singer left, and hey, by the way, I'm Freddie. They knew each other, like, already, and we're living together. And I was still, like, I'm still in on this movie. Yeah, so that's how, you know, I know it was good.
Well, yeah.
All right. How many other non-crossovers do you have? I'm trying not to look at your list.
2, 3, 4.
Yeah. Okay.
I have 4 non-crossovers.
All right, let's do another crossover then.
Sure.
All right, so do you have Incredibles
2? Mission Impossible Fallout.
Yeah. Okay. So
we'd reviewed this one.
We did.
Yeah.
This movie was amazing. It's really hard to conceive of a movie hitting its 6th or a franchise hitting its 6th movie. And it just keeps getting better.
Yeah, it's a franchise where they've never petered off since 2. 2 was probably the lowest point in the franchise.
So I think I was talking about this the other day.
And
with
I think
someone.
It's just that John Woo.
Well, it was part of the problem was John
Woo.
Doves
flying through the air at some point in the movie.
So one was, you know, hey, we're going to take the TV show version of this. We're going to do a movie, but we're going to flip it on its head.
Right.
2 was full Woo. 3, actually, if you look back at it, is the safest one of them all. It's like kind of the formulaic, like the mustache twirling villain.
3 was the one where it was like, I think with bringing JJ in, it's like, hey, you've done a show called Alias.
Right.
So can you do a spy movie for us with the characters from Mission Impossible, but make it Alias?
Right.
Like, do Mission Impossible, make it Alias.
But you have a male,
and it was like,
you have a male protagonist, you know, not a smoking
bring Felicity
hot, you know.
In for a few minutes. That, you know. And then she goes on to be a spy in the show. But I think that the fact that they were like, you know, J.J. Abrams was the safest director to have.
Right.
Had dealt with the spy series.
Exactly.
And it was one of those things where you got a really good guy to play the villain.
Yeah.
Like Philip Seymour Hoffman was really.
I'm not bashing the movie in any stretch of the imagination.
It was just over the top villain. That's a mustache twirling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was.
It's like, you know, literally.
He's getting tired of the train tracks.
he did the part of the movie that needed to be done that way.
Right.
And the rest of it was taken very seriously. Like a real spy organization and all that type of stuff.
But 4, 5, 6 is like a cohesive story.
It's a trilogy.
It's just been so good. And it can still go on. Like, you know, that's the beauty of it. Like, I still would love if Ethan graduates to director and Rebecca Ferguson is the head of the IMF team. Like, we talked about this back in August or July, whenever it came out. That being said, saw it once in the theater, watched it 3 times already since it came out earlier this month.
I bought it, but I haven't had a chance to watch it.
And it's still, like, again, it holds up so well
on
multiple viewings.
I thought it, like, you know, it's one of those things where I've seen the last 3 in the theater. And I'm like, each time I go in, I'm like, is this going to be like the one where I'm done?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this one, I was like, okay, you know what? I'm ready for the next one.
Right. It's like,
because
it's like
I'm
the
like,
Fast and Furious movies at this point.
Well, no. And that's the thing.
But
with Fast and the Furious movies, I'm like, meh. you know, at this point. But my thing is I give Tom Cruise credit because the dude's in his 50s.
Yeah.
And he's doing some crazy
stuff. Well, the fact that the scene where he broke his ankle is still in the movie. Yeah. And he gets up and keeps running for
it's in the opening credits.
Yeah. No, it was when he was.
No, literally, that part where he breaks it is in the opening credits.
Yeah, where it's.
Yeah. When he runs. When he's still doing the running part, that's the scene when they cut it, like after he passes the camera.
And I will say, this movie makes me like the man from Uncle better because of Henry Cavill in this movie.
Okay.
Because you remember when Man from Uncle came out, I wasn't like harsh. We didn't review it or anything, but we had been talking about it. I was like, I don't get it. I didn't enjoy it. Like, it's not that they didn't enjoy it. I was thinking they should have swapped. Like, he should have been the Russian and Armie Hammer should have been the American. But, like, after seeing this, I'm like, okay, no, I get it.
It
like,
decent.
I kind of, like, you know, the more I see of Henry Cavill, the more I've been enjoying him in things lately.
But now it's one of those things where if you see him with the British accent, it's going to be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Because he's done the, he's been doing the American accent so long.
Well, it's like Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Like, when he talks in his Australian accent.
Right.
Like, it's so weird.
Well, it's any of them.
Yeah.
That, like, any of them that portray Canadian American accents because sometimes it sounds Canadian, and that when they portray that accent and they do it for so long and then they go back and do something in their native tongue, you're like, wait a minute. It's like,
but like the ones who do the southern accent, right?
Yeah,
like Andrew Lincoln.
Oh,
like
yeah,
him going from Rick Grimes to Andrew Lincoln.
Yeah,
like it's close already. You know, it's not really that different.
But
so.
Henry Cavill, I seen him in The Tudors.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know what he sounds like. And then it's like, you see him in Superman or any of those, and you're like, wow. It's like, you could tell where his dialect coach got him better throughout the years. Mm-hmm. Because in Man of Steel, he's very, like, standoffish.
It was like Michelle.
Well, it's like he pulled his chest in and was talking like this the whole time. And then by the time you get to this movie, he's relaxed.
Yeah.
And he's talking and it's like,
Well, remember Bionic Woman with Michelle Ryan?
Yeah.
Like, she was like, the best episode was the one where she went undercover and she got, because she just couldn't convey the emotion. And Yvonne had the same problem early on in Chuck right?
Yeah.
She was like, she was really kind
she's
of
Australian. Isn't
she's
she?
Australian. Yeah. And it was, I think it was the second season where she got to talk in the Australian accent for a little while. And it was great. But she grew over that series. So by the time she was on Dexter, you're like, this girl's American.
Yeah.
So
it's one of those things where it's like, he did a really good job. You know, always happy to see Simon Pegg and Ving Rhames.
Yeah. and the fact that, like, you legitimately thought one of the two of them was going to die the entire movie.
The thing is how good the writing is on this movie that it literally, like, and going back to the Fast and Furious, before Paul Walker passed away, it felt like a family.
Right.
It literally felt like everybody was, you know, like Paul held it together.
A family.
I think. Like, cohesively held
familia.
It together. He held it together.
That and Corona.
And I think that, like, well, you know. But I think that with Tom Cruise, he is an easygoing guy.
Yeah.
But I think, like, at this point with him and the writers, it feels like a family.
Yeah.
Like, Ving has been there since the beginning. Simon came in on 3.
Well, what? This is the third one that Chris McQuarrie's written.
Yeah.
And the first one he's directed?
The first
or
one
the
he's
second
directed.
One he's directed.
I think it's the first one.
He did 5 and 6 because Brad Bird did 4.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
He's done
the last two.
So, yeah, I mean,
I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, at certain points, you were literally like, when his wife shows up again, and Ving is like, you know, you could tell, like, the way Ving plays it, it's just like, man, it's like, even though we didn't see all the stuff where
he
trained her
and
all that, it's like, you're still like, get that conveyance of emotion where you're like, dude, this is awesome.
Yep.
And I'm like, this is really well acted and really well written. And it's a popcorn movie.
Right.
So that was crossover. You want ones that aren't crossovers?
Yeah, I only have one.
How about
left,
Solo? So. A Star Wars Story?
So
I enjoyed this movie.
I enjoyed the hell out of
it,
too.
It's a great movie. The things that sold this movie to me are Jonas Sumato as Chewbacca did a really great job. I thought that Alden did a good job as Han, and
I thought they were great
Woody
together.
Woody Harrelson.
Woody was great.
Woody Harrelson did it for this movie.
I wanted a little more Tandy Newton.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like Tandy
was filming Westworld, while this was going on.
They're like, hey, Tandy, do you want to do like a week on Star Wars?
You're going to be in a Star Wars movie. Okay.
Yeah, Governor. Now, I like Solo. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's like we both gave it favorable marks on our reviews.
These are all
reviews,
ones where I bought them.
Yeah.
So, you know.
And other than Rogue One, that's the one I've watched most this year, like rewatching, just, you know.
Now that I have time to watch stuff, I'll probably watch it a few times.
I just like putting Rogue One on while I'm doing stuff and having it
Rogue
on.
One's a good background, like background movie.
It's great. So this, and this
you
one,
know how it ends.
Well, that's the whole reason, right? Like, you know what's going to happen. I will say, so the guy that was Omar on The Wire, Michael C. Williams.
Yeah.
He was originally Dryden Voss.
Okay.
And so it's like, man, I kind of want to see some of what Lorden Miller did with him in that role.
I don't think we ever will, but
no, I don't think we ever will. Not to take anything away from one of my fave underrated actors, Paul Bettany.
I don't think he's underrated now.
Well, good, because he deserves to not be underrated.
He was underrated when he was in A Beautiful Mind.
Yeah.
At that point, I think he was underrated, because A Knight's Tale, he goes over the top. He's great in Master and Commander.
He was in The Da Vinci Code.
Right, you know, but I mean, it's Silas. Like, I think A Beautiful Mind was where people recognized him. So,
but it's funny, because if you listen to interviews with him after that, like, there are directors who told him, you're never going to act again.
Right.
After A Beautiful Mind.
Well, right.
Which
is
ridiculous. So, anyway.
But, you know, he had a friend in Ron Howard.
Well,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, Solo was good.
Yeah.
I liked it. It just didn't crack that top five for me.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
I don't have a top five.
I know you don't.
I just have top movies.
Right.
We don't do top fives here.
Anyway, I was trying to keep it to five because I knew you were going to have more than me.
Well, and it's not like we're running over.
No.
Let's be honest, shall we? The t-shirt thing isn't going away anytime soon, so you might as well get a garment with some backbone, yes? Well, here comes the Flying Pork Apparel Company to address all your shirty moments in life with honor and respect. Maybe we create a custom tee for your shirty office party, or knock out some smashing jerseys for your shirty softball team. There's also plenty of wearable tee designs available on our website. Having said all that, have a shirty day and visit us at flyingporkapparel.com. That's flyingporkapparel.com.
So we only have one more crossover.
So what's the non-crossover? We'll save the crossover for
Fantastic Beasts 2, which I seen yesterday.
Yeah. We've been back and forth about this. And you called me out, rightfully so, for fanboying out a little bit. Now,
the thing is, and here, let's do it for the fanboys.
Okay.
If you're going to complain about this, go to Pottermore. There's no year that McGonagall
was born. It just has her
birthday.
It does not have the year.
And let me tell you something. The movie takes place, the Harry Potter movies take place in the 1990s.
Mm-hmm.
So she could have been in her 70s. She could have been born in the 20s, but it still would have thrown it off. I don't think that was Minerva McGonagall.
So there's a ton of stuff out there that says
JK
she was,
wouldn't make that mistake.
Well, so there's a ton of stuff out there that says 1935 is when she was born.
Yeah.
And then now her grandmother.
Did JK say that?
So that I don't know, right. And that we can research. But now. Her grandmother, she was named after her grandmother, Minerva.
Yeah.
Who may or may not have been a professor at Hogwarts.
Right.
But her mom was a muggle.
No, her mom was not a muggle. Her father was a muggle. Like I said, go on Pottermore and read her history.
Okay, I got it mixed up.
Her mom didn't let her dad know that she was what she was.
Okay.
And that until... a year after Minerva was born.
My bigger issues was the thing with Queenie and Jacob, though. Like, she didn't have to do any of the stuff she did to him to convince him to go with her anywhere on the planet. And then
she did because of how she's been treated
over
the years.
And then
she's
the whole
in a
thing
unique position
end.
From other magicians in that she has a power base that they don't have.
Right.
So reading minds is hard. It's a difficult thing. And like, you know, it's not like she had Professor X telling her, you know,
putting in mental blocks.
You could go through all these movies and pull out characters that could go learn from Charles Xavier, because you got Elsa.
Yeah.
And you've got
Queenie, how it should have ended, when they dumped her off, that's what I was acknowledging.
But I mean, like, Queenie had the same issue because there was nobody like her. So listening to, you know, people's thoughts, and especially the guy you love.
Right.
So when you're enchanting him, you're not hearing any thoughts.
Right.
So that's what that was all about, I felt like.
And so that was the one thing. And then, not to spoil too much, but the way they just kind of wasted Zoe Kravitz. I wanted her, and I knew she had to die, but like, spoiler.
I didn't feel like they wasted. If you're a Harry Potter fan, then that's not a spoiler.
No, but I wanted to see her for at least two more movies. Like, at least two total. Like, to live through this one. Because her arc, I felt like it was just getting started. And then the whole reveal. And then kind of the whole coincidence of her reveal.
This is where the story picks up. Where, you know, now he's picked a side.
Now, here's the other thing. This movie, when she started writing it.
Yeah.
It was a trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
And then now it's five.
Okay.
And so you can see where she changed gears about a third of the way through the movie, like a third of the way through what she'd been writing. It's like, crap, I have to like layer in a bunch of things. Now, I don't think at the end of this whole Fantastic Beast five movie ride, there will be any loose threads hanging.
No, because we know where Grindelwald is at the end.
Right.
Because that's where he is when they show him in Harry Potter's books. We know where Dumbledore is.
Right.
We'll find out where, what's his name?
Newt
will be. And his brother.
Right.
And, you know, anybody else who.
Well, and if
I mean, Tina could die.
Right.
Easily you kill that character off. Queenie and Jacob could die.
Mm-hmm.
And that. But, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, Newt, we don't know what happens to him.
Well, we know that Luna marries his grandson.
Yeah.
So that's in the epilogue of the Deathly Hallows.
We'll find out.
Ideally, I mean, okay, so the first Fantastic Beasts movie is my favorite Harry Potter movie.
Okay.
Like, it's my favorite of all of this.
They're called Wizarding World movies.
I get it now. I just, you know, whatever. Now you're fanboying out.
No, that's what she said. Right. They're Wizarding World now.
So, okay, of the Wizarding World, the first one is my favorite. Mm-hmm. And Eddie Redmayne's performance in this movie is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, the watching Newt deal with emotions and deal with his brother was so cool. And then the calming effect that Leta had on him.
Yeah.
I just wanted to see more of that. That's why I'm saying I feel like they're wasting.
I feel like there'll be flashbacks of
the other,
you know,
thing
that
is Zoe Kravitz is such a busy actress right now. I'm sure they could only get her for one movie.
She played Mary Jane in Spider-Verse too. Yeah.
So
I was just like, geez, how many movies am I going to see Zoe Kravitz in?
About her and then Haley Sitwell as Spider-Gwen, and then she's got Bumblebee out next week.
Yeah.
She's going to have a huge December. So.
The animated movies aren't hard to do with the voices and that. It's more the art of it.
All right. So, I mean, again, I agree. This easily could have been on my top list, but again, I just tried to rein it in a little bit.
What's your other one?
Incredibles 2.
Oh, okay.
Which
it didn't go on my list.
It didn't. Nope. Oh, okay.
Nope.
I'm interested why.
Because it was too easy of a story.
Okay.
Syndrome in the first one was a good twist.
Mm-hmm.
This one I figured it out before.
Oh, you figured it out the minute
she came
on screen.
Literally, I'm like, that's not good storytelling.
I just still though, I loved watching this family.
Good movie, good story, but if I figure the twist out before like 10 minutes into the introduction of the twist, then I'm like, that's not good storytelling.
I get it.
Yeah.
What I loved about it was the growth of the family. The family.
Oh, yeah. All that was fun. The funnest parts of that movie are watching Mr. Incredible deal with the kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that and Frozone's stuff was fun.
Math is math. Math is math.
Yeah. But like the stuff with Elastigirl.
See,
Stuff with Edna.
I enjoyed all that. Edna babysitting Jack-Jack was kind of cool.
I want to watch this short. I haven't watched the short yet. Really, so really good. The short will be the fun part probably, but like, just, you know, it wasn't what I was expecting.
Jack and his power set was great. Yeah. You know, well, with him and the raccoon.
Yeah. That stuff was fun. Yeah. And that's what, you know, it's like, that was one where it wasn't a spoiler because Disney Store had that Jack raccoon boxing set. And I'm like, what is this in the movie? Like, right. What is this going to be? And then when they showed, I'm like, this is totally like a good idea. Yep. It's like, this is hilarious.
So I don't know. I mean, The Incredibles is my favorite Pixar movie.
Well, sure.
And I feel like this was a very worthy successor to it.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was a terrible movie. It just didn't. When this came out, I wasn't like, I need to go buy this right now.
Yeah. See, I pre-ordered. Yeah. This is one of the other ones I pre-ordered. So
I got it, you know, Black Friday too, but it was cool. Like, you know.
It was like $15.
Yeah.
All right. What do you got next?
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
See, and I didn't get to see this one yet.
And unlike Incredibles 2, this one developed the characters more.
Okay.
And acknowledged that time had passed.
Yeah. How long has passed?
6 years.
Oh, six.
6 years. And they say it in there. They said, we've been hanging out for 6 years. And, you know, just the way they developed the story and, you know, how it ends is on a note where it's like the characters evolved.
Cool.
Like, that was the whole thing with the first one is Ralph evolves from a one-dimensional character to a three-dimensional character because of Vanellope.
Right.
And in this one, they both, like, grow up, because in a sense when the movie starts they're both kids,
right?
You know, and at the end they grow up.
Cool.
And that Gal Gadot is awesome in it as Shank. Nice. She plays Shank.
Okay.
And just, you know, the returning stuff and the new stuff, the internet jokes, like the internet jokes are hilarious. The interactions with the Disney princesses are that was fun. That was really like well thought out and
The previews, and I hope there's way more than what was in the previews.
There's like the stuff in the previews, and then there's like a bit more.
Yeah.
Like, and there's something at the like toward the end of the movie that they do that like is like, that was awesome. That was an awesome, like,
awesome
thought where it was like, you know, something they say to her in the dressing room gets paid off toward the end. Cool. So it's like, that's cool. And if you go see it, sit through the credits, but don't read the credits. There's something at the end that is hilarious.
Awesome.
There's two stingers. There's one in the credits, and then there's one at the end.
Cool.
And watch for Stan Lee's cameo.
Awesome. Oh, nice. Another Stan Lee cameo. He does. Very cool. All right. What else do you have? How many do you have left? Two?
No, just the one.
So we just have the one.
Yeah, the one crossover. Yeah.
So this is the newest movie that came out.
Yep. Yeah, and Bumblebee and
Aquaman
will be out Friday. And Mary Poppins Returns is out this week also. Comes out Wednesday. I think. Wednesday or Friday.
Yeah.
So those three won't be on the list at all.
So I'm going to see Bumblebee next Sunday.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it's just one of those things where I
literally binge these movies.
Yeah. Right, you did a triple feature on Monday.
We did a triple feature on Monday because why not?
Right. You were off.
$33 for three movies.
Oh.
With tax.
Each or?
No. Total. The whole total.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you go to Milford?
Milford, yeah.
So we went down and we saw... So our last movie is Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
We saw it at the Cinemark in Oakley.
I just think they should have called this movie Spider-Verse.
They should have just called it Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Now...
The Cinemark, they own Milford.
Okay.
But it's still under Rave.
Okay. The screen... Cinemark, great. The seats, I was not comfortable at all.
So like, what are their seats?
Like,
are they...
They're the red leather, like, recliner ones.
Oh, they're recliners, too?
I tell you what, though.
See, Milford, and this, you know, for local people who listen. Milford still has original stadium seating.
Yeah.
So I like that.
Kind of like Kenwood.
Does Kenwood still...
With the regular seats, they're not the recliners.
Oh, do they? They have that?
High-back plastic.
I've been there, like, once, maybe. But, like, that's what it was there when Showcase was there. When they built it, that's pretty much the way it is. They've changed the seats out, obviously, over the years, but it's still stadium seating. So I like that more than I like reclining chairs and all that type of stuff. And that, and it was, you know, just one of those things where the price is right.
Yeah.
$5 for every movie.
Nice. For matinees?
For all movies.
All the time.
All the time. Nice. I've seen the last two Star Wars movies there and paid $5.
I think you've only seen movies there lately. Like, every now and then. I really like going to the Cobb at Liberty. Like,
yeah, that's
not
nice.
Not the Cinebistro, but just the regular theater.
Oh, I've never been in the... I've been in
the Cinebistro. The regular theater is really nice. It's got the recliners, but they're actually comfortable and they're real wide.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, into Spider-Verse. I am 100% in love with this movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to spoil too much about it. It was a note-perfect introduction for Miles.
If people don't know who Miles is, this is the way to be introduced to Miles.
Absolutely.
If you don't know about Spider-Gwen, this is a really good way to be introduced to Spider-Gwen.
Right.
And I haven't read that origin story, so the Peter Parker part of that's her story. I don't know if that's the comic book. Oh, okay. So cool.
Okay, so I could say that. Yes, it is. I'm the one who reads the Spider-Man.
Yeah, you read Spider-Man.
So this had Spider-Man.
Yeah.
The first one, not right. Spider-Man 2, which has been kind of garbage.
I thought that was good, and they actually did use that.
Did use some of Spider-Man 2, but like anyway, Spider-Man. It's just so funny to say Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Maury Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's an accountant. So they used Spider-Man. They used a lot of Ultimate.
You say it so fast that it does sound like a guy.
I do
like,
it on purpose.
Like Spider-Man and Spider-Man Insurance.
Spider-Man and Spider-Man Furniture. Anyway.
Spider-Man and Sons. what would they have? Spider-Man and Sons would be a restaurant.
Yeah. No, it would be a movie
deli.
Company.
A deli.
Ooh, a deli, yeah.
Spider-Man's and Sons
with
deli.
The best knish in the city.
There you go. That'll be in the next Into Spider-Verse, like one version I'll have.
Okay, so it was Spider-Man. It was Ultimate, and they did a lot from Ultimate.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Verse.
And I haven't read that whole death of Peter Parker from Ultimate, but I'm like, I know enough to be dangerous.
So.
And I was like, this is pretty close to what I know.
The whole death of Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And then Spider-Man.
Yep.
When 616 Peter is in the
shows
Ultimate
up
Universe,
with Aunt May and
like
all that.
I literally had to put the tablet down and walk away.
Yeah,
because it's like, man, I can't even right now. Like it was so touching in the way they handled it, and it was so cool. Now, I'm gonna spoil one little thing.
You were disappointed in one little thing?
No, I'm gonna spoil one little thing.
Oh,
real
go
quick.
Ahead.
Chris Pine as the Spider-Man of the Ultimate Universe or whatever, the Miles Universe.
1610?
I think it was 1610.
Yeah. It was 1610.
What a great voice to get for Spider-Man. He was so awesome. He's so heroic. He's so great.
When the credits...
Oh, I should have put the Outlaw King on this list.
The Christmas song at the
and
end.
When he's singing.
Yeah,
Christmas
it was
song. So great. I was so happy.
That's
that
another
it was
one
Chris
where you
Pine.
Stay through the credits.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a fan of 2099.
Yep.
You got to stay through the credit.
So I'm watching. I went with Daryl and my buddy Carlo from work.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Who is the lady at the end?" I just kind of giggled. I'm like, "Oh, that's his AI."
Yeah.
You know, it's not a lady. Yep. You know, it's like his Friday or Jarvis or whatever you want to say.
Well, and I liked that. Like the whole time, Alchemax was there, and Alchemax is from 2099.
Right.
So I was like, oh, there's the spider. I literally was like, oh, there's the 2099 acknowledgement right there. And then I was like, oh, there's got to be something after the credits.
So in the comics right now, like Alchemax has been a thing for a while. Like,
but they were introduced in 2099.
They were introduced in 2099. Yeah. And they've since, like, they've been founded now in the modern times. And when Miguel came back in time, he's trying to, like, change history and stuff.
Right.
Jake Johnson as Peter B. Parker, who Screen Rant is saying he's the 616 Spider-Man.
It said that on screen.
But he broke his back, which our Spider-Man hasn't done that yet. And
all right.
He's divorced, sure. But, like, he's never been one to, like, that Peter is the one who is
literally
bodies.
I'm sorry, but I'll spoil that. Aunt May died.
Yeah, well, yeah, his
like,
Aunt May died.
Whoa, I'm like, wait a minute. They've never done that.
Well, they did, and then he went and made a deal with Mephisto to bring her back.
Right.
Spoilers. Not in this
weird
movie.
That's a weird spoiler.
The two of them, Peter B. and Miles, that was such a, like, it was a fun thing because he did not want to be a mentor.
No.
And Miles just wanted to be mentored, like, more than anything. Spider-Gwen was great. She was a little OP, but, like, it makes sense because of what happened in her universe when her Peter died.
Yeah.
And she got bit by the spider. She got bit by the spider and then Peter died.
Right.
That, like, you know, she's such a cool character anyway. And I did like how she introduced herself as Spider-Woman.
Yeah. Instead of Ghost Spider?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Ghost Spider
doesn't work for you.
I'm shaking my head now. I just don't like it.
I think that was for Marvel Rising, and it just was like one of those things where we're like, why don't we just use this?
I don't know. I just don't like it. So, Spider-Ham
was hilarious. So like, they did Spider-Ham so well that
I was worried about. Yeah. I was worried there was going to be too much Spider-Ham, especially with John Mulaney as the voice.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I don't know about this. And, you know, I was really happy with how they used
him. Literally was like, you could do that as just a movie with him.
Or shorts. Just do Spider-Ham shorts before random Sony properties.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So, Nick Cage as Spider-Noir.
Yeah.
Like, all right, so I didn't look... Like, I watched the first trailer, and that was it. I didn't look at the IMDb. I still don't know who played Miles.
I forget his name.
Anyway, he did great.
Yeah.
His dad was awesome. The whole Prowler, like, the suit and the sound effect that he made was great. Scorpion was really cool.
Yeah, they did a lot of cool adaptations.
He was like a Lucha Libre, like Darth Molly,
Like literal Scorpion.
Yeah.
Because Peter acknowledges him and goes, oh, you're the Scorpion in this universe?
Right. And just kind of laughs at him.
Like, this is totally, like, off the wall weird.
Yeah. Catherine Hahn as Liv was great.
Yep.
And I'm just going to leave that one there.
Lily Tomlin as Aunt May.
Yeah. And Aunt May in this. So, do you remember the Ultimate Spider-Man cartoon? That was the most recent one?
I never watched it,
it was actually way better than it got credit for. But Aunt May was a badass in that. Like, she was, like, a world traveler kind of thing, always out like adventuring. So like, it's kind of like this is her
Aunt May, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
More like Aunt May.
The best part is like
archaeologist
Aunt May like,
Jones, Indiana May
acknowledges that they all know who who Spider-Man was at this point because there's a funeral type thing and that. But I mean, Aunt May at one point when the bad guys show up at the house and says, "Don't start it in the house.
Yeah.
You know, go outside and do this." And when they start it, she literally like gets in the middle of the fight, and I'm like,
with
okay,
the baseball bat.
This is cool. It's like, that's cool.
Yeah. Because
Aunt May, you know, you always think of amazing Spider-Man and his friends.
Oh, Spider-Man and his amazing friends.
With the dog and that. Mm-hmm. And the old Aunt May. And I'm like, Aunt May from the Ultimate Universe is what they should use if they don't use Homecoming Aunt May.
Yeah. And Marissa Tomei is a great Aunt May. I've thoroughly enjoyed that. She was great. The whole spider cave. And I can't wait to get this and pause and really dig into each of the suits.
Oh, it was like Big Time was in there.
Big Time was in there. The original Iron Spider, not the Infinity War Spider, was in there. There were like the...
the caped Spider-Man.
Yeah, the caped one.
Yeah.
So the Sorcerer Supreme Spider.
Yeah. A lot of the what-ifs.
Yep, a lot
stuff
of the what-ifs. And then you had Kingpin, who voice-wise, great.
Liev Schreiber.
Yeah. The fact that his head was in the middle of his chest was a little weird. Like, just the design of him, he was so, like, hunched over.
Well, he was the Kingpin.
So, yeah, no, I get it, but he just kind of looked
and everything
weird.
Everything in this movie is done on extremes. Like, so it's like, you know, this is a really well-animated movie. It's not like a lot of movies you've seen in a long time.
So you know what I like about this is it's about the multiverse, and every once in a while, everything's out of phase.
Yeah,
and I really, really enjoy
like the focus
that.
Goes off just, a little bit,
and it's not even. It's like it's almost
well,
like
at certain points you see pixelation,
right?
And I'm like, you don't see pixelation that much anymore. So.
And it helped. And that actually helped with like the smoothness of everything.
But like doing comic books in the movie. And doing
well, you saw dots.
Yeah. Well, and I mean,
you know,
the
old dot matrix
thought
coloring
bubbles and you know stuff like that. And I'm like, this is a good comic book movie.
All right. So you asked the question in our text chain: is this the best Spider-Man movie?
Yeah, and I think it is. Yep. For me, at this point, it probably goes this, then Homecoming, then the first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
See, I would go this, Homecoming, second Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
Yeah.
So. And then
it just gets thrown off by the villain in the first one that throws off that movie.
But it's still good.
But I think
I like
those two pretty much equally because it's one story to me.
I did like how they acknowledged
all of that
with the dancing and the like.
We don't talk about that.
I saved the city again. When he turned around, he punched the car. That was all in the preview, though.
Right. Well, the whole thing with the train dragging
thing.
And I'm like, well, that's from that movie. And I'm like, oh, that, okay, now, cool.
So he had blonde hair, which is what Ben Reilly has.
So that was the nod to Ben Reilly.
And so when he pulled the mask off, I was like, I was hitting Daryl. I'm like, holy crap, it's Ben Reilly. It's Ben Reilly. And he said his name is Peter Parker. And I was like,
yeah.
What the hell, man? It's Ben Reilly.
Well, no, because that universe, maybe the Clone Saga happened and...
I want Kane. Well, the Clone Saga definitely happened and he never realized he was a clone.
Yeah, right. That's but, possibly what that right. was.
I would love Kane Parker to show up in the next one.
Do you think they would do Spider-Geddon? Since that's what's going on now.
I haven't finished Spider-Geddon, well, so I don't know.
The whole thing with the Spider-Verse story and Spider-Geddon is it involves Morlun and all that.
Well, I think
vampire so Spider-Verse.
Like, I think they have to do the Morlun thing in like the third movie,
well, maybe
with his family and the spider hunters, because that's a cool story. And then that's when you get to introduce Silk,
yeah,
and who is a cool character. You know, even though, like, she's totally retconny and,
right.
you know, like, oh, well, she just happened to be bitten by the same spider after Peter
but,
killed it.
I mean,
you
in
know?
That universe, in that story, you can make it where that Spider-Man's dead, too, and right. she took over.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
But Silk is an awesome character at the same time, and she ties all the way back into the J. Michael Straczynski run, which actually works really well for me. It's just... Wow, I mean, this movie was so good.
Yeah, it's definitely like a really good movie.
So
this will be a buy it the week it comes out, maybe.
I think it's up for pre-order now, which I'll probably go ahead and do. But I went into this with high expectations. I mean, we talked about We talked about this. Yeah. When that first trailer hit, I told you, I'm all in. Like, I'm really excited.
I literally
about this.
Think, like, none of these movies that I seen yesterday I went in with super high expectations. I expected them to be as good as the first one.
To like them, yeah.
Yeah, and at Spider-Verse, I expected just a well-produced animated movie. And, you know, I don't think there was a bad movie I seen yesterday.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think, like, I couldn't even, like, rank them of the three.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed everything I seen yesterday. That's cool. And I'm like, you know, yeah. I definitely would buy all three of these when they come out.
Cool. And then Stanley's cameo.
Stanley's cameo was great.
Was awesome.
I think the footnote at the end acknowledging his passing was really well done.
Yeah, him and Steve.
And then thanking them both like right after that was just like, yeah, you sold that right there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sony for doing that.
Yep.
All right, man. 2018, man. It's been a good year for movies.
And next week it'll be, Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
By the time you're listening to this, Christmas will be over.
No. Be. Christmas will be a couple days away.
I'm just pushing Christmas away. So,
yeah. You still have time to get on that naughty list.
I'm always on the naughty list.
Yeah, you live there, right?
Yep.
All right, guys. Well,
I wasn't born into the naughty list. I am the naughty list.
No, you didn't adopt the naughty list. You were born into it.
I wasn't
you
even
are?
Born into it. I am the naughty list.
Nice. All right. Well, hey, next week we will have our best TV episode. Or
I'll
episodes.
Keep that one down to five.
Our best TV. I've gone over five already. So the best TV series of 2018, and then we'll do our...
a lot of TV series.
What we're looking for. Yeah, I've watched more TV this year than like I normally do, so... Part of it is because
I don't
just,
put reality TV that
I
watch.
I don't
on
watch
the list.
Reality TV. So.
I only watch like Food Network stuff and Travel Channel stuff.
But like on the tread or on the elliptical or whatever.
Yeah.
I just throw the phone on there. And like if I haven't like watched everything I want to watch on YouTube for the day, I'll throw on a TV show.
Sure.
So anyway. All right, guys. On that note, remember to go to Spotify and iTunes and everywhere else and subscribe and like and share and all that. Hit up Flying Pork Apparel at flyingporkapparel.com and check out our shirts. You can get there from our site by the shop. And anything else
That's
to add?
Pretty much it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. We'll see you next
Happy
week.
Happy holidays, whatever you
yeah,
say.
Yeah, whatever you celebrate. Happy holidays. Yep. Later. The Infamous Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Brian Tudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.